evening and welcome to Early Late Night, the Explosion Network's number one Australian esports news show, presented to you live from some studio somewhere pretty cool, presenting your host, the man that knows esports the most. Don't dispute that. He is the one, the only, Kieran Marchant.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back right here in the studio. It's been really good. If you caught Friday's episode, I don't even know what that was, to be perfectly honest. We filmed the show in the middle of Melbourne, doing from the hotel room off my mobile phone, with good old Ashley Hobley holding another... Ashley Hobley, right, I will give it to him, everybody. Ashley Hobley knows he's reliable. You know, if you ever need like a production manager or a stage host, a stage manager, somebody that makes sure that everything comes together, get Ashley Hobley on the job. I've got a little tripod here that Dylan's brought. Cool, I'll just hook it up to my phone. And Ashley's like, nah, man, don't worry about it. I got one phone here. Here's a phone for your chat. Oh, you've got no light on your face, Kieran. Puts another one up there. Gets light on my face. I'm not in the dark. It was pretty good. So I do thank Ashley for all his help with Friday's episode. Audio listeners, if you're like, wait, there was an episode on Friday? What the hell? Where did that? Sorry, I didn't put it up on the podcast or in the VOD because the audio was not the greatest and I didn't want to have to listen to the phone mic the whole time. So this episode will be back up as normal. This is episode 60 of Early Late Nights. And I am, yes, your host, Kieran Marchant. Thank you very much for stopping by. PAX was over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Not Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We were at PAX the whole time. I was chilling out at the ESL Arena, watching a whole range of esports from Overwatch to League of Legends to, Rainbow Six Siege, which we will talk about a whole bunch in a second, as well as going into, you know, nice and deeply into Elder Scrolls Legends and Quake Arena. Quake Arena is an interesting game. I'd still avoided this one. It is a free-to-play shooter at the minute as it's in beta. You still have to unlock all the champions or you can just buy a champion pack. Cool thing is if you buy the champion pack right now, you get all the champions from this point onwards. Like, you get all the current ones, but if they release new ones, you get those ones as well, which I think is pretty cool. I think that's a pretty cool thing, so check it out. It's free to play. I think you can just grab it on Steam. If you're on PC, just grab it on Steam. Give it a go. I was pretty impressed by it. There was the 2v2 tournament battle, tournament, I guess, going on with... It ended up with Cooked Esports versus Corviknay, and Corviknay managed to take it out. Corviknay looked super solid. Super solid on pretty much every map. It was really good to see like Murder come out on Corviknay and on Cooked Esports and put on a good show. But Corviknay are going to be representing Australia in DreamHack Winter, hopping on a plane and going to Sweden very soon. So make sure you support those boys and check it out. And Quake, it's an interesting game. It's the meta around it. I learned quite a lot just by sitting there and watching it. But, you know, PAX overall was great. If you want to see any of our PAX coverage, we did a whole bunch of videos. Go over to explosionnetwork.com. Check out the full PAX section. There's videos on a lot of indies that we looked at, a lot of the big games that you might be interested in that were on the show for. There was a really quick esports update a couple times throughout it. So I had a really fun time. I had a really good time there. So... hey, it was really fun. We did it. I'm so proud of the work that Dylan, Ashley, Cherie, and myself, I'm proud of myself, put into the event. So make sure you go check it out and support it and retweet it if you'd like, just to get us out of there. That'd be fantastic. BlizzCon is coming. You'll see, if you're on the tweeters, you'll be seeing all the pros heading their way over to Anaheim now for BlizzCon 2018, where Overwatch will be having its World Cup, as well as Hearthstone having events throughout the convention. We'll be seeing a whole range of new announcements for all of Blizzard's games, including hopefully a new character in Overwatch with that new sweet animated short that I really hope explores some of the lore a little bit more of Overwatch, maybe dives in a little bit to some characters that we haven't seen. It'd be kind of cool to see like Genji and Zenyatta hanging out. That would be kind of awesome. But hey, it's what they went through and what we're going to be seeing over the coming weekend. But I'm excited for BlizzCon. Make sure you check out the Overwatch World Cup, because they're going to be rolling out in beta the new spectating system. So I'm super pumped for that. I'm super excited. Remember, if you're an Overwatch player, competitive in Australia starts again tomorrow. So make sure you jump in, do your placement games. If you're in a placement game against me and you're on the other team, you should go easy on me. Don't aim me so much. Wave high at me and I'll shoot you while you wave high. Okay, cool. Thanks. Thanks for the support. Appreciate that. We also had the news late last week that DeFran has joined the Atlanta Reign for the up-and-coming Season 2 of Overwatch League, which is fucking impressive. DeFran was unable to play last season through various not-so-great reasons, but he has been picked up by Atlanta Reign. I'm really excited to see DeFran in the league, to see his playstyle and his DPS come through. It's going to be really, really fun. There was a whole bunch of Overwatch news that we quickly talked about on Friday with Atlanta Reign and Toronto Defiant. Yeah, I remember the two names. Coming forward with their team names and their team colors. We had the Paris roster was released with Shadowburn and Soon taking their places on that roster, which is really good for the French team. I'm pretty happy. Overwatch League, you're doing some good stuff. And it's a great time of year. We get to see a whole bunch of things coming out because of it. So we get to see, before the preseason, we get to see all the new team rosters, hopefully some more updated jerseys. Go check out the LA Gladiators updated video that they did. It was with Puckett. It was really good. It was really good on Bishu, because we all love Bishu. Yeah, Bishu number one off tank. But that's what played out over the last week. What's going on tonight's show for Early Late Nights? Well, we're going to be discussing the Rainbow Six Siege Masters. We're going to do a full breakdown of the three games that were played throughout the tournament on Saturday that I was able to attend. If you're not into Rainbow Six Siege, or you've never played before, or you've kind of played, or you've never watched it as an esport, stick around for me to talk about it, because I think one of the games in particular is like my game of the show. And if anybody ever asks me how to get into Rainbow Six Siege, I will be showing them this game every single time, because it was so good. It was such a good event. Also in Dota 2, ESL Hamburg happened with one of my favorite teams taking the win. So we'll be breaking that down, that tournament, some of the minor stories that happened throughout it. And also I'm going to be talking about my new escapade to get good, as the kids say. My new escapade to get good in esports in general. I'll be talking about that towards the end of the show, so stick around. Let's kick it off. Let's do some Rainbow Six Siege. I've done a lot of Rainbow Six leading up to the event, leading up to PAX, because of the Masters taking place, and hopefully, what the hell is hopefully? And hopefully, giving anybody who's watched the opportunity to understand what is happening on stage at PAX. I had such a fun time with this. Like, the four teams that took place in there, Fnatic, Darksided, Norarengo, and Athletico, you all put on a performance. I really hope in the future I can get a couple members of the teams to jump onto the show and have a bit of a chat, because I was inspired by the game, inspired by the players to excel in this kind of thing. So it all kicked off with the two semi-final matches being... It was single elimination as well, people. It's going to be one of those episodes, everybody. Two semi-finals. The first semi-final was Darksided versus Fnatic. And this game, even though because of some of it kind of pushed the whole tournament back, this game was so amazing. This game, so a normal Rainbow Six Siege game goes across three maps, best of three. So you can win the first two and beyond. This map went all the way to the last potential overtime with the very last round of that overtime. This was so good. I was so pumped up by this game. Fnatic versus Darksided managed to pull through one of the most hyped games. Darksided came in as the very heavy underdog. Nobody expected them. They'd had a rocky season with new players like Specker coming into the team and trying to find new roles. Fnatic are the heavy favorites after finishing so strongly through OPL. Their battles with maybe Athletico are the only other team really that was able to hold a candle to Fnatic in the Australian OPL, in the Australian League. But to see the Fnatic come through. Fnatic's had some role switch-ups that seem to have a bit of an impact on the game, so we'll see how that really affected it later as the new season of Rainbow Six Siege begins again. But boy, oh boy, this first match was absolutely amazing. Throughout the three maps, there was moments of really impressive play, especially from Darksided, who were the underdog team. And at some periods in Border, there was a couple stomps where they tried to take Armory and Fnatic just absolutely flogged them and they never went back. But with players like Fletch and Specker standing up to really tackle the map and really tackle and kind of bring on that little X factor was fantastic to see. It was really fun. It was really great for the crowd to get behind Darksided. And to think, after the first map, it was very unsure. You know, the first map was, this was the map that Fnatic, you need to win this Darksided, because Fnatic's going to win Border. You need to win this one, Darksided. And Darksided pulled that one through in an epic showing. It was so good to watch. It was so much fun. I think Fnatic managed to, even though the crowd was very split half and half on either side for each team, but Fnatic managed to stand together and pull through. Even when it looked like Darksided, there was this story being told of, you know, Fnatic, every time they got to match point, they just couldn't seal the deal. Every time they got to match point, Darksided would bum rush through and push on forward and force out another round. And Fnatic had to stand together with Rizraz and Magnet really stepping up for their team to pull it together in the final moments of the semifinal. So that was fantastic. Then went on to the second semifinal between Athletico and Norarengo. I think this game started off really close, really even. Athletico really bringing it to the Japanese team. There was some really good showings. Athletico managed to pull out the first map after it looked like they were going to lose it. Athletico managed to pull through the first map. They go to the second map, and about halfway through the second map, Norarengo start really, really turning it on. Like, really hard-hitting strats with movement together, really pulling out all the stops. And that led to the third map, and the third map was Norarengo all day, every day. They just took it to Athletico in every way. Athletico looked lost quite a bit. Their strats just weren't paying off for them. And, you know, we got to see the teams really have to struggle to try and main it, but Norarengo were just too good, which led to the finals. Finals of Fnatic versus Norarengo. And this had been recently played out in Tokyo, and Norarengo got the better of Fnatic that time. They really did get a better result from it. So map one was a really close contested event, but Fnatic just couldn't seem to peg Nora at all. At every turn, every opportunity that they got, Norarengo stood in front. And then map two, you could just feel that momentum change. You could feel it taking on its aggression, like moving forward. The momentum changed, and Fnatic started to take it on. It was really good to see, as once again, Rizraz and Magnet really stand up and bring the team together. It was really, really fun. Like, Neofighter had his moments. Aces was really, really cold for most of the matches, except for when he was playing on some more of the Shield characters. He was playing as Blitz. His Blitz play was really, really fun and really, really good. But Fnatic, they seemed disconnected at moments, as if maybe it wasn't the greatest of picks, or maybe they weren't playing together. But to see them come through with it was so good and so fun. It ended up with map three, that massive hype of Fnatic. You could just tell that Fnatic were doing it. Fnatic were coming together and pushing, and they were getting such a good momentum build. It was almost like Norarengo, who had flown in from Japan on Thursday, hadn't had a proper chance to practice and just couldn't keep up with Fnatic. A lot of the teams have been out of their element a little bit with it. So to see that now is really interesting. Some of the character picks were as expected, but it did come through to Fnatic winning the grand final, taking home the large share of $25,000. And it was fantastic to see an Aussie team come together and really play out. There were some great moments with Cutie and Fletch playing absolutely amazingly for Darksided, as well as Specker's solo man carry throughout maps. Was awesome to see for the Darksided match. And then throughout the other games, there were just moments of JJ being amazing for Nora and Go, and Magnet. Magnet is, I would say Magnet was my player of the tournament, not because he had the flashiest plays, but he was stable. He was what you want a captain to be for their team. It's the person that brings everybody together and pushes through no matter what. It is fantastic to see that and fantastic to have that involved in the match. So Magnet was my player of the tournament. Fnatic, of course, being the winners of the tournament overall. And I think if you want to go back and get into Rainbow Six Siege Esports, go watch Darksided versus Fnatic. Just go watch that. There were some issues. I was a little weird. On the ESL stage, they were using Samsung monitors. One of the monitors, I believe it was Necrofighters on Fnatic, just kept either not working or was playing up. And they stopped a couple times to try and fix it up. And then when it moved forward into the next round with Atletico, they ended up having to just replace the monitor for the same monitor for Atletico. So maybe that could have been fixed up sooner, so there would have been less pauses and less delays as the event ran long. But Darksided vs. Fnatic, go check it out, go watch it. Even if you go find the highlights or if you just watch one map, it was such a good, it was so much fun and so hype to be a part of that. So make sure you go check it out. Hopefully I can get one of the guys from some of the teams to jump on in the future. And yeah, really break down what happened and go through it together. Dota 2! Because PAX Australia was going on, the world didn't stop. The world kept going with the League of Legends World Championships on the move, with Fnatic going through to the finals. Dota 2 was happening in Hamburg with ESL 1. It was one of the biggest events outside the international in Dota 2 in the calendar year. I really enjoy whenever ESL puts on a tournament like this with some of the best names in the business. In the business of Dota 2, that is. I'm going to say this now. I'm going to say it now. Normally, the international is the peak, right? The international is the highest of high. This is how we do it. This is so good. This is awesome, blah, blah, blah. When it's this good, when the production value is as good as ESL, it meets the international. The casters were on point. The analysts and hosts were really good. They had a massive stadium. The stage setup was amazing. It was really fun to watch. The story of the tournament, of course, was Team Secret, who ended up going through to beat in Vici Gaming in a best of five, going all the way to match five. The grand final was that back and forth, a lovely back and forth. I love every Dota 2 fan loves the TI3, TI2 levels of just games being played all the way out. We had a couple years of 3-0s in the international or that heavily featured. Team Secret played an amazing game of Dota 2, and so did Vici Gaming, but when it came down to it in the final game, there was just something about the aggression and the choices that Team Secret took that really featured heavily, and Team Secret did this the hard way. Vici Gaming won through. They won through to the grand final. Team Secret fell early. They fell into the lower bracket, had to fight Evil Geniuses, had to fight Virtus Pro, and then had to fight Vici Gaming in best of threes and then a best of five. And the team led by Puppy, who is probably one of the most respected players other than some minor things he's ever done, one of the most respected captains and drafters in the Dota 2 world, was so much fun. His draft left for aggression. It made that we got to see this aggressive playstyle. Game fives can often be like we're going to farm, we're going to work, you know, we're just going to be slow and steady, we're not going to be over aggressive. Team Secret was not that playstyle whatsoever. They managed to really bring it out with their Troll Warlord pick and their Monkey King pick. They really managed to push the pace of the whole event, with it all coming down to, it's really funny, every kind of grand final or big win for a team can be broken down to a monetary value ulti. Always happens all the time. But this came down to a single moment really in the game where after picking up a double damage room on the Terrorblade, Vici Gaming looked like they were going to be taking it. Vici Gaming looked like they were going to be having an easy win of this Roshan to then push forward and continue. But after smoking up and knowing the smoke break right next to the Roshan pit, Zai from Team Secret jumps in with Magnus and RP and really just obliterates the team fight single-handedly, pushes out the team. Team Secret wins the fight. They take the Roshan and they never stepped off the gas pedal there. They never stopped going forward and being aggressive. It was fantastic to see. It was really fun to see. Vici Gaming looked like juggernauts throughout the whole event. They are, with being led by legend himself, Fenrir, that team is so well put together. But it was really either sad to see them kind of fall at the last hurdle. They fought so hard to come back in two straight games. But Team Secret managed to pull it together, win game 4, win game 5, and really deserve the victory. But Vici Gaming has a very bright future in the next calendar year of Dota 2. So I'm excited to see how they go with that one. Virtus Pro fell really short. It was almost disappointing. Ramses, you've just got a head of shoulders ad, mate. Why are you dyeing your hair blue? Whatever. But they fell short of Team Secret, just especially on that last day where Team Secret had to play a lower final and then the upper bracket fight and then the grand final. Team Secret just looked switch on. They just looked ready to go the entire time. They looked like they were prepared for every game. They weren't going to be set back by any minor mistakes. It was really good to watch and really fun Dota 2 to watch. I advise you, if you want to get into Dota 2, go back, jump in, explore it a little bit, have a little bit of a search. The casters, as I said, the international, the level of presentation for ESL is up there. Blitz and Cap do a fantastic job calling the entire grand final. The analysts and stage hosts do a really good job of breaking down the game for you. I'm really excited for Dota 2 at the moment where it is and for its competitive scene to continue to grow, because we saw a lot of it come out on top throughout this event. And watching PAX and like watching all the esports I watched at PAX led to me being super motivated and passionate. Led to me being really, really kind of excited, really excited about esports in general, because esports is something I'm super passionate about, and recently I've made a switch in my career on Explosion Network and in YouTube to really focus on esports and really bring esports news and provide what I don't think there's much of in my sphere of gaming news. There's not much. I'm honest and I'll say I play a lot of Overwatch. I've played Dota 2 previously, I've played League of Legends, I've played Rainbow Six, but most of my time's Overwatch. But while watching, there was a tweet that I did. While watching each game, I was just like, I want to play that game now. I want to play League. I want to play Dota. I want to play Rainbow Six. I want to give Elder Scrolls Legends a try. I want to try out Quake Champions at some point. And that's what I want to do. I want to get good, everybody. I want to be on top of my game. And Early Late Nights is the beginning of that. Early Late Nights is where we start and the projectional point of where we're at in esports for Explosion Network. And for me, for Kieran Marchin, I want to expand. I want to maybe cast some games. I want to start maybe organizing tournaments for the show and organizing tournaments for our channel. But I think I need a bigger, I need a better basis. I need a better rounded experience. So what I'm gonna be trying to do now, when it started and I've already had people panic and been like, Kieran, what are you doing? Yesterday I reinstalled Dota 2. I'm gonna put League of Legends back on my PC. I'm gonna put Rainbow Six on my PC again. I'm gonna probably try and play as many different types of esports, maybe combine it with esports for dummies to try and make, you know, whatever I do esports for dummies on that week, maybe I'll play that for the week. And what we're going to do is we're going to start putting on streams at least once or twice a week of that game, hanging out, playing that game, talking to people, answering questions, going through it, and A, getting better as myself as a player at these games, but B, bringing you more content for those games on our Twitch channel, because I think it's really hard to go into a random stream and try and see what they're doing. But if I can try and get into these games, and I'll do it in more of a learning or kind of teaching way, where I'll be talking about why I'm doing things or what I'm doing in the game, what I think is the right thing. I might not be 100% right all the time, but we're going to try and learn together. We're trying to get better and get good, as the kids say, together throughout esports. So you'll see more and more streams. So make sure if you're for watching now, or if you're listening to the VOD or the podcast, go to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. Make sure you follow us and turn those notifications on, so you know every time we go live. And I'll put up, make sure I put up which game we're playing, what we're doing. If you want to be involved and come play with me, I'll be jumping in our Discord during those streams, and diving in and giving audience members chance to jump in and come hang out and play. I think that'd be really super cool. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. I wanted to just talk about that and put that out there during the end of this episode. We'll try and do a stream maybe Thursday afternoon, Friday, or tomorrow afternoon. We'll probably do Dota 2 for a couple hours. So make sure you keep in touch with that. Follow our Twitter at ExplosionPod, because this has been Early Late Nights episode 60 right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you for being a part of our awesome community, and thank you for loving esports. I hope you've had a good night. Make sure you catch the show every Tuesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Australian Day Eastern Daylight Time. God, I hate that thing. Australian Eastern Daylight Time at 6:30 p.m. Make sure you stop by, say hello, jump in chat, listen live, see all my fuck-ups, because I don't think I've edited any fuck-ups out yet, but there's probably one or two I'll edit one day. But make sure you catch all my fuck-ups live. Make sure, if you can't be here live, that's completely fine. Stop by our YouTube channel, youtube.com/explosionnetwork, or any good podcasting service at 7 p.m. on Wednesday or Saturday to get the VOD or the audio version of the show to listen to your heart's content, replay, rewind. Maybe put me in a mixtape, drop the beat on me as I drop the news. I'd like that idea. If you want to hear me talking about normal video games, because I love esports, but I'm not really getting a chance to talk about normal video games anymore, go subscribe to our brand new podcast, Arcade Couch. We have just recorded our first episode live at PAX, where we talked about all the games we saw at PAX. I talk esports for 5-10 minutes. But we'll be doing that weekly, with the show dropping live, dropping every Saturday, for you to check out all the latest gaming news, what we're doing on the Explosion Network, what games we're into. Yeah, it's going to be really fun and really cool to jump in. So make sure you subscribe to that. Thank you very much. If you want to follow me and hear all my rants or my random crap that I say on Twitter, I'm follow me at your boy Ringo. Follow our Explosion Network Twitter account at ExplosionPod. Make sure you like the show, follow the Twitch channel, do all the things, leave a review, subscribe, join the notification squad, blah-de blah blah, and remember, don't be a bad person. Say GG at the end of your games. Have a good night.